Well, last week we started a new series called Mama Always Said, and it just seemed appropriate today for Father's Day. We'll talk about some of the things that Papa always said. And I don't know about you, but Papa always said things a little bit different than Mama. And maybe you recognize some of those sayings, but it's just interesting that some of the wisdom that we gained from Mom and Dad actually could go back centuries to when Jesus spoke some very crucial principles for us to live by. Now, not all of those Mom and Dad recited, but today I think as we go through this series, we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th and 7th chapter in particular, when Jesus gave his most famous sermons, the one they call Sermon on the Mount, and it's a lot of very practical applications that you and I can learn from today. And so I thought today we'd go from a father's perspective, but I want to ask you a question, and I just want you to kind of really internalize it for a second. It's going to be the theme of this message today. And the question goes like this. I'm worried about, what is that for you? I'm worried about, what do you worry about? You know, it's interesting to me, it doesn't matter the age or stage in life, but worry is something that everybody deals with, from the little ones all the way until you get to the grave. Matter of fact, I thought about a lot about teenagers. I wondered, what was it like to be a teenager, right? It's been a few years ago now. But some of you may be teenagers that are in the house here this morning. And teenagers have a lot to worry about. They do. Some of them worry about, you know, getting good grades at school. Some about whether they're going to make the team or they're going to get cut during the audition. Some worried about going to school in a new building. Maybe they're going up to an elementary, to middle school, to high school. Or some are worried about being bullied or maybe embarrassed at school. And then I can remember those years like late elementary, beginning of early middle school, right? Where you worry about, like, do I have BO? Am I putting enough deodorant on? If you're a girl, you want to have breasts. If you're a guy in middle school, you don't want to have breasts. It's not good. If you're a guy in middle school, you're like, by the time I get to high school, I ever have a mustache? The girl's thinking, I hope I never have a mustache. Some worry even more about some really important things, like they're worried about their mom and dad's marriage. Are mom and dad going to get divorced? I heard them yelling at each other. I heard them talking. What am I going to do after high school? But then the worries don't stop as you get older, because then you decide what college or where you're going to work. You worry about getting a job, and you worry about keeping a job, and then you worry about finances, like how do I pay off my college debt? How do I pay my mortgage? How do I pay my bills? Am I making enough money that I could save for retirement? And then you get married, and then you worry about your marriage, and then you have kids. Now you got to worry about your kids. And then your kids get married, now you worry about their marriage, and then they have kids, and you worry about your kids' kids or your grandkids. And then pretty soon you begin to worry about your aging parents, and it's like when you're middle-aged, you got it on kind of both sides. And then you begin to wonder, have I been the parent that I need to be? Have I been the son, or maybe for you, it's have I been the daughter that I've needed to be for my parents? Some of you worry that you worry too much. Some of you worry that you don't worry enough. And then comes the senior adult years, right? You worry about your health. I heard some older people talking just recently. They're worried about the direction and the condition of our country and where it's headed. They're worried about that, what their grandkids are going to have to deal with, or great-grandkids someday. Some of you are worried about loss of independence as a senior adult, or not being able to drive, or maybe at some point in your life running out of money. Some of our senior adults are worried about following or losing their bodily faculties, if you will. Some are scared of losing a spouse and not being able to live at home any longer. Some of them are just scared of loneliness because they've already lost their spouse and like, what do I have to live for now? And there's senior adults that are asking and worrying about, what does end of life look like for me? I don't know, what do you worry about today? Have you ever thought about what worry looks like? I mean, worry looks like sometimes the bags under your eyes. It looks like somebody who has an eating problem, like they never eat or they eat too much because they worry. They get knots in their stomach or they have intestinal problems. They have a lump in their throat. Younger people and sometimes older people have slash marks in their arms because they give way to cutting when they worry or they're anxious. They have restless, sleepless nights. That's what it looks like. But have you ever wondered what worry tastes like? Did you know worry has a taste? Yeah, sometimes it tastes like this. Sometimes it tastes like, can you imagine, oh, yuck, Pepto-Bismol cakes? Like, who wants to eat one of those? Sometimes worry tastes like salt. When you cry yourself to sleep at night, you're so worried about something, and that's all you taste is salt from your tears. What do you do when you get worried? To whom, to what do you turn when you're anxious? Is it food? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Somebody says, I need a cigarette. Is it television? Maybe it's a dark and secluded, isolated room or space or place in the house. Some people deal with their worry by going out and spending money. They just go on a shopping spree to kind of numb the pain and the anxiousness. Some turn to family, some turn to friends, some turn to maybe a spiritual advisor, a pastor, a counselor, and some, and probably more few than I would care to count, turn to God. Well, here's what I want to do. For the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about what is it that you worry about, and what does God tell us about worry? I worry about, fill in the blank for you, what is that today? Probably for some of you, before I even got through all those lists, you already know what that situation or what that circumstance is in your life. And although I'm coming up on 50 years of living in October, I've learned a lot about worry from my own personal experience, and I want to share those. Here's what I know about worry. I know that everyone wrestles with worry. Everyone does. Matter of fact, Pastor Chuck Swindoll says that worry is the universal addiction for people. And I don't know about you, but I hate it when I'm worrying, when I've been anxious, somebody comes up and says, hey, quit worrying so much. Stop worrying. And don't just feel like sometimes you want to look at them like you have no idea what I'm feeling, what I'm going through, the situation I'm facing. As a matter of fact, I think if you were in my shoes, you'd be worried too. Don't you sometimes just want to say that to somebody? And yet, here's the thing. In the biblical text that we're going to look at today, Jesus straightforwardly says this. He tells us, do not worry. Matter of fact, if you have your Bibles, join me in the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter. We're going to begin reading in the 25th verse. I'm going to be reading from the Living Bible, a little bit different translation maybe than some of you are accustomed to, but still the very same pointed text. Here's what Jesus says. He says, so my counsel is, don't worry about things, food, drink, and clothes, for you already have life and a body, and they're far more important than what to eat and wear. I mean, look at the birds. They don't worry about what to eat. They don't need to sow or reap or store food, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than they are. Will all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothes? Look at the field lilies. They don't worry about theirs. Yet King Solomon in all his glory was not clothed as beautifully as they. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and they're gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you, O men and women of little faith? So don't worry at all about having enough food and clothing. Why be like the heathen? For they take pride in all these things and are deeply concerned about them. But your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well that you need them, and he will give them to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Jesus says, do not worry. It's interesting, that phraseology Jesus used, when you look at it in its original language, in the original context, it simply means this: do not be divided in your directions. Do not have a divided mind. You see, worry has the capability and the potentiality to mess with your mindset, to pervert your perspective, to paralyze your personality, to wreak havoc on your relationships, to sabotage your faith, to rob you of peace, and to steal your joy. It's been said by somebody that worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy. You see, because worry, what it'll do is it'll take your legitimate concerns that you have of life, and it'll wrap them up in anxiousness and uncertainty. And I think Jesus knew this, and that's why he chose the day-to-day stuff when he talked about worrying for you and I, when he spoke to us about not worrying. Because he knew people say, well, what do I eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? And he says, you know what? Worrying, this anxiousness, is different, though, from having legitimate concerns. I don't know about you, but I can have legitimate concerns about things in life. Let me give you an example. Like saving enough money for college or maybe someday so that I can retire. That's a legitimate concern. There's nothing wrong with thinking about those things. Or if I'm going to marry the right person, right? Or if I'm going to get a job before I'm married and be able to provide for my family. Those are legitimate concerns. Some of you maybe take certain medications you've been prescribed and you're like, but what are the side effects? That's a legitimate concern. Well, how's it going to affect my body? But it's when those concerns, even though legitimate, become all-consuming, that worry wrestles its way in. And so then the question becomes, how do you tell the difference between a legitimate concern and worry? Well, let me ask you a couple questions. When the thing that you're concerned about is the first thing you think up when you wake up in the morning and the last thing that's on your mind when you go to bed, it may mean that you are worried more than just a legitimate concern. Or when you find yourself thinking about it during every waking moment, every spare moment of the day, that's probably going a little bit further, just a legitimate concern. Or when you find yourself bringing it up in every conversation that you have with another person, that's probably more about worry than legitimate concerns. And see, because worry desires to dominate our waking thoughts and drain us of our hope and the possibility of a single restful night of sleep. See, because worry doesn't want to be relieved. It longs to fight with your faith. Worry has no intentions of relaxing. It has no intentions of releasing or easing up its pressure on you. Anxiousness is not easily appeased. It has no ambitions of being abated or alleviated. Worry is constantly picking a fight with your faith. It's like the bully, right, at school. It's always picking on your faith. That's why the Hebrew writer said it like this. He tells us what faith is. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, and it's certainty of what we do not see. Now, watch how worry picks a fight with your faith. Worry will accentuate that which is uncertain in your life and would have you to believe that the things that you can't see, what is unseen, what you're hoping for, is terribly unlikely. It's not going to happen. You worry, oh, it's not going to work out like I want. And worry tells you that it won't. Where the Bible tells us that faith is being sure of what we hope for. It speaks certainty to the unseen areas of our life. And these two are in battle and conflict. And I'm convinced the enemy of our soul, the enemy of our faith, would love nothing more to overburden you and overburden me with thoughts and a worried soul. So what do we do? Well, we're commanded by the scriptures to stand firm in our faith, to keep our faith in Jesus, and to continually be pushing back against our worries. But here's the thing that you need to know. Worry's relentless. Worry, if it can't weigh you down today, well, then it's going to look into your future. And this is where many of us get foolish. Because what we'll do is we'll reach out forward and we'll scoop all of our imagined troubles of tomorrow and we'll pull them in and dump them on our today. That's what worry does. It reaches out, it pulls all our imagination for tomorrow, what could happen, and we pull it into and drop it into our today. And we conjure up fake facts, and we fantasize eventualities in our imagination that only continue to perpetuate our anxiousness and our worry. Let me prove it to you. How many of you, now don't lie to me like first service did, all right? How many of you, when you start going, I feel a little hot, a little feverish, and my heart's been hurting, my throat's sore. How many of you turn to the reliable doctor of Google? I got a knot here. And you Google, and within 10 minutes, right, And within 10 minutes, you look up at your wife, you go, I knew it, I'm gonna die, it's over, it's all over, but they're screaming now, right? I mean, we fantasize eventualities and we pull them into our present moment and we dump them on our today, and it just overwhelms us. Listen, here's what the Bible tells us. Here's what I want you to know today. I don't know what you're facing or what you're going through, what you're worried about, but listen to me. God sees you. You are on his radar. You are valuable to him. Listen to what Jesus says. Look at the birds of the air, he says. Let me make this as plain as I can, Jesus. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't store away in barns, and yet God feeds them. Are you not more valuable than them? Jesus says, in essence, here's what he's saying, like, be like the birds. Think about that for a second. If anybody ever calls you a bird brain, take it as a compliment. Hey, that's good deal. I'm a bird brain. That's okay. I'm thinking like the birds do when it comes to things of like worry. Said the robin to the sparrow, I really do not know. Why is it that these human beings rush about and worry so? Said the sparrow to the robin, I think it must be. They have no heavenly father such that cares for you and for me. See, look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't labor. They don't spin. And yet even King Solomon, the Bible tells us, is probably one of the wealthiest and the wisest man who ever lived. In all of his splendor, wasn't even dressed like one of these. Jesus says, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow it's thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? So what I want to ask you today, as worry picks a fight with your faith, does your faith in Jesus affect your view of life? Is it making a difference on how you view your life and the life around you? Because Jesus is telling us in this text, you don't have any reason to worry. He's kind of telling us this very fact, that worry accomplishes nothing worthwhile. Notice what he said. Who of you, by worrying, can add one single hour to your life? Let's be real. Worrying will probably take away from your life than add to it. There is nothing positive or worthwhile that comes from worrying. Now, this last one may be a little bit tough to stomach, and it's going to kind of get up in your Kool-Aid and stir it a little bit, okay? So be ready. Ready? Watch this. When you and I continue to worry, I think I can make the case that we sin. And for some of you, that ought to be a little concerning right now. That's probably got you worried, right? Because, like, I worry all the time. Are you meaning I'm always sinning? Well, think about it for a second. When Jesus says, do not worry, if worry means it draws me in different directions, it divides my mind, if it's drawing me in different directions, that means it's drawing me sometimes, it's trying to draw me away from my faith. It's trying to draw me away from my God who says I have value and that I matter to him, and he tells me, don't worry. If it divides my mind and the way that I think, the way that I think about life, then it's probably also dividing the way that I think about my God. And so if we continue to worry, it drives us in a different direction that's away from God, that's away from faith. And God tells us, don't worry. See, first when we worry, we live as though God doesn't exist. That's what we're saying. We live as if we're alone. It's like, you know what? I got to work independently now to solve my problem. And yet, here's what the Bible says. God says, I will never leave you, never forsake you. Do you know what that really means? Listen to it again. God says, I'll never leave you. That means physically. I'm not gonna leave you. I'll never forsake you. That talks about abandonment. That means, like, I'll never emotionally leave you. Check this out. Did you know that there are married couples that can live under the same roof physically, but emotionally, they don't know each other. They've forsaken. They've been abandoned. They're just roommates keeping the roof together over their head. They have no relationship. Here's what God says. Listen, I'm never going to leave you physically, but I'm never going to forsake you, abandon you emotionally either, relationally. I'm here. I'm here for you. The second thing when we worry, we doubt God's control. We doubt his care. We doubt his plan for our lives. And what we do then is if God ain't going to do it, man, I start to maneuver and I begin to manipulate my future because I'm not sure I can trust God anymore. And yet this is why Paul wrote to us, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and what's it say, and are called according to his plan, to his purpose. And I know as soon as you hear that, some of you are saying, but Pastor Jeff, you don't understand. I can't help but to worry. That's just the way I am. I'm a worrier. My friend, can I speak candidly to you? I mean, that's like saying I can't help but to sin. That's just the way I am. I'm a sinner. And yet we know that the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1 that Jesus loves us, and help me out, and has what? Set us free. Set us free from what? From our sins. How did he do it? By his blood that was shed on the cross. So for you and I to say, well, I sin because I'm a sinner. It's just what I do. No, you've been set free from sin. And guess what? You say, well, but that's just what I do. I'm a worrier. No, you're not. You've been set free by Jesus' blood. You don't have to worry. You're choosing to let worry win over faith. Well, you say, well, yeah, okay, but how do I attack this then, Pastor Jeff? I hear what you're saying. I need to work on my worrying. How do I do it? Well, here's what you can do to start. First thing I would say is take note of your physiology. What? Pay attention to what your body's telling you already. Because here's what happens when you begin to worry. A lot of us, it begins with a spinning mind. Is that you? Of the three that I'm going to show you, this is mine. I'll just tell you right out of the gate, this is mine. I think about it when I get up. I think about it when I go to bed. I can't even get to bed. I can't turn my... If you're the kind that's thinking about the situation all the time, it's like, I just want to turn my mind off so I can go to sleep, that's probably a sign. This is more than just a legitimate concern. I'm worried about it, and I need to let go and trust God a little bit more about this. For some of you, it's a racing heart. It's just like, right? I was listening to a colleague, and he was talking about during this whole COVID pandemic, that was his. And he said, he's a blogger, he does interviews leaders online, he's a podcaster. And he was saying, you know, like when this hit, like I'm like now up at 4 a.m. in the morning. And as soon as I wake up, my heart's racing. I'm like, okay, let's go, let's attack this day. But sometimes that nervousness, that anxiousness is put into extra energy. And that's not all bad, but it kind of masks what's really going on. You try to overproduce. Racing heart, people can do that. The last one that's mentioned is a tightening gut. You know, it's like, oh man, I'm just. And it's funny how that tightening gut makes it way up in your shoulders and your neck, and you're just tense all the time, and you got knot, and you're like sore, and you need to feel like you need to go to the chiropractor or masseuse. Your body's telling you something, friend. Take note of your physiology. Second thing you can do if you want to attack this concept of worry is remember that God already knows what you need. He already knows what you need. Listen again to what Jesus said in verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Did you hear what he said? The pagans. That means the people who have no sense of God. They don't know that God cares for them. They're the ones that run after all those things. They chase after all that stuff. But not so with my kingdom disciples, my followers. You know that I care for you. You know that I love you. And can I just say this to you? God knows what you need, my friend. He does. Now, understand there's a difference between what you need and sometimes what you want. But I promise you that at the moment of your need, God will meet you there. It may not be when the timing you're thinking, but it'll always be the right time that he'll give you exactly what you need. And the other thing you can do is to begin to put God first in everything. Jesus said it like this in this text, but seek first. Talking about priority, right? Seek first what? His kingdom and what? His righteousness, the way God wants you to go about things. And then all these things will be given to you as well. Be committed to Jesus and his kingdom first. It's priority. If anyone understood God meeting them in their time of need amidst times of trouble, it had to be the Apostle Paul. I want to share a portion of scripture with you, and then I want to unpack why Paul wrote it. Listen to this. Paul says this, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you're unselfish and considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. It's not going to last forever. Don't worry about," help me out, what's it say? Yeah, did you catch that? Don't worry about anything. I don't know about you, but there are ever times in the Bible you wish that it just omitted some words. Don't worry about a few things. No, it says anything. Instead, notice what it says, pray about everything. Oh, but does God really care about this? Are you worried about it? Then God cares. He cares about everything that you care about. So tell him your needs. And as you tell him your needs, don't forget to thank him as he gives you his answers. Now, here's what's interesting. As you read that text, the Apostle Paul does not pen these words behind this big oak desk in his study. He pens these words while sitting on a dusty, dirty prison cell floor, knowing that people on the outside have put him there on the inside, and while he is locked in this prison, they are trashing his name. They are ruining, trying to destroy his ministry that he's preaching the gospel in Jesus. Matter of fact, he didn't even know if tomorrow might be the day that he would be drug out and executed and his life taken. This same guy is the one who's writing, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, present your request to God." In other words, he's saying, listen, don't be drawn into different directions by anything, but in everything, present your requests to God. How? Well, by praying. Talk to God. Tell him what's going on in your life. In other words, some of us need to start verbalizing some stuff. And then by petition, what's that mean? Have you ever signed a petition? It's when you want to see something changed, you need help with something, and so you're trying to get the people, the powers that be, their attention, so you have enough people sign their names to it, and you take it, and maybe the peer pressure of it all will get it changed. When we say, bring your request, petition God, it says, God, I can't do this. You're going to have to. I need your help. I don't know how to get this done, but I know you're the powers that be that can. So here's my petition, God. Here's what I need from you. I'm asking you for help. And it says, do it with thanksgiving. Thank God that he's going to help. Thank him for the blessings that he's already given to you. And I love the last part. Listen to this. This is a cool part. After that, Paul says this, and the peace of God that transcends, it goes beyond anything that you can understand, it'll guard your heart and it'll guard your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know what you're worried about. Hopefully you've identified it. But instead of dragging that out with you as you leave, why don't you exchange it for that peace that goes beyond understanding right now? Wouldn't you want that kind of peace now? I mean, Jesus says, listen, don't borrow from tomorrow's quota of trouble. Just live obediently today. In other words, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Here's what I think he's saying. Don't keep storing up grace against the future. Live out of all of God's grace in the moment. The writer of Lamentations says this, "It is only the Lord's mercies that have kept us from complete destruction. Great is his faithfulness. His loving kindness begins afresh each day." I love the New International Version. It's one I memorized as a kid. "His mercies are new every morning. Every 24 hours, I get a fresh new batch of mercies from God just for that day, for that 24 hours. So I don't have to store up his grace. I just need to live in all of his grace in the moment, in this moment. My soul claims the Lord as my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for him, to those who seek for him. It's good both to hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The last thing I would say to you today is this. Acknowledge that God is with you. Acknowledge that God is with you. You know, when I was a young boy, on a summer night like this, summer nights like we're experiencing, we all haven't had a lot of rain lately, but the times the rain would come in, and the thunderstorms would move into Kosciuszko County, and the thunder would crack and the lightning would flash across the sky. You start getting a little nervous in your bed as when you're a little kid. But then it seems as if the lightning hit right outside your window and it shakes the thunder and it shakes the window frame of your house. And I can remember, man, jumping out of my bed as fast as the lightning struck. Through the dark, not caring if I ran into a door or a wall or tripped on anything, man, I am making it to my father's room. And I would run and jump in bed with my dad and my mom. Dad'd say, "Don't worry, Daddy's here." Maybe not you're the dad. You've experienced those moments when your kids, when they were young, would run and jump in your bed. And wasn't it something that your presence, just by being in dad's room, brought this sense of protection and security that it's okay, daddy's here. Today, whatever you're worried about, the cool thing is you don't have to get up and run to his room. He's right here, right now. And to some of you, whatever your situation, God is trying to say to you as clearly as he can, listen, don't worry. Your father, your daddy, your papa is here. Would you trust him? As worry picks a fight with your faith, would you say, I'm not getting in that mess again with you, worry. I'm going to give it to my father right now and leave it there. Here's an old hymn Pastor Tim's kind of strumming for me. The title of the hymn is called What a Friend We Have in Jesus, but listen to one of the lines. It says this, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Here it is, Papa. That's what's going on. That's what I'm worried about. If I'm honest, I'm downright scared about it. And I keep carrying it. I'm just going to drop it here at the foot of your cross today. That's what I'm asking you to do, right where you're at right now. Matter of fact, I'm just going to ask if you would, if you just kind of close your eyes, maybe even bow your head, maybe do that online if you will at home. And if you would allow me just for these next few moments, pulled from different parts of Scripture, I want to speak to you like I think God would speak to you right now. About your situation and about you personally. As you hear my voice, don't take it as Jeff, but the Spirit of God speaking to you just a little bit through me from his word. Listen to it. He says to you today, "Do not be afraid. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast on me because he or she puts their trust in me. I'm your creator. You were in my care before you were born. Do not be afraid. I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Be still and know that I am your God. I know when you sit. I know when you rise. I know you. I've searched you. I know your anxious thoughts. I've turned my ear to you so you can call on me. I am your provider, and I will raise you up on the wings of the eagles. I will not reject you. My child, do not be afraid. Do not worry, because your daddy's right here." God, as your sons and daughters, unload their worries to you. May they hear those words, "Ah, my child, Daddy's here." May they find comfort and security in your arms, God. May we find the promises of your word to be true in the moment for us today. And as each one walks out of this room, God, I pray that any worries, any anxiousness they've brought into this room, they would leave here today. Because when you came, Jesus, you bled, you died on a cross, you were buried, and you rose again. And by that resurrection and the shed blood that you did, you set us free from our sins, which means you also set us free from our worry, from our anxiousness, that we don't have to be bound with it. When it picks a fight with our faith, we can fight with your faith against it. We can just say, yeah, well, watch this. My daddy's going to take care of that. Help us to have that faith today. As we go from this place, help us to leave our worries and live trusting you, Jesus. It's in the strong name of Jesus that I offer this prayer on behalf of your people. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. So be it. Happy Father's Day to all of you dads. Thanks for being here today. I'm glad you're here. Those of you who are online, we're glad that you joined us. We'll hope you join us again next Sunday. We're going to continue our series about Mama Always Said next week. But until then, have a wonderful week. Go with God. He'll go with you. We'll see you then.